Now, before we start, just give me a minute. I just want to remind us again that the labor of the believer is in the realm of the spirit. Don't ever forget that. We don't labor outwardly primarily. I don't know how many of you have read that that sermon I sent around titled The Seeds of Your Destiny. All right, I explained that, you see, there's a life has seasons, seed time, and harvest. If something is coming with difficulty, all right, it's been hard to release, then what that means simply is that either you are not yet in the harvest season or you did not plant the right seeds at the proper time. So I wrote that article just to help people understand that. Plant the right seeds, all right, and do the watering of the right seeds, and in due season, you will enter into your harvest. How do you know harvest time? Harvest time is when you put in the same amount of energy you used to put in before, but this time around, you get 100 times the result you used to get those days. That's harvest. That is harvest, all right? There's a time in which you labor morning till night, you know, go here, go there, do your business, do all of that. At the end of the day, you are able to make maybe 10,000 naira, all right? After a few days of good, righteous labor. Then the time comes, you put in the same amount of energy, exactly the same. It doesn't bring you 10,000 naira, it brings you 1,000,000. You put in exactly the same amount of energy, or even less. It doesn't bring you 1,000,000 naira, it brings you 10 million. Then you know this is harvest. You understand? That's an illustration. I say it jokingly. Now, you can laugh when I say this. Normally, if I see one man, you can laugh. But I see a man, a young Christian man, pursuing one woman for a long time. Look at the way he's laughing. And then, last minute, they just disappoint him. I say, don't worry. That was seed time. Amen? He said, all the time I wasted, it's not wasting. It was what? Seed sowing. You were sowing seed. Then the time comes before you say, I will not, it's not what you hear. It's, yes, I do. You're already on the altar. That's harvest. Amen? So don't ever feel bad when you sow seeds. Seeds are good. Anytime you finish sowing seed, you leave there empty-handed. You understand that? You go into your farm, you start planting. When you come in with one bushel, all right? You go in, you go out, how? Empty. You know, that's just seed time. But harvest season, what happens? You come in with no, you know, you come with implements, you go back with sacks on your shoulder. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. So he that sows in tears, there's a time for sowing, all right? He said the same person will reap with joy. He that goes forth bearing seed, all right, precious seed, shall doubtless again return with joy, carrying his sheaves, bearing his sheaves with him. What am I going to explain? Life has two seasons. Learn how to labor the labor of seed in the right season, and then the harvest will come with ease. It's not that there's no labor in harvest season, but the labor of the harvest season brings forth much result with very little effort. That's just what happens, all right? So why did I say that again? Christians must understand that our labor is spiritual. What did I say? Our labor is spiritual. We've been saying this again and again. Life is a battle of what? Words. Life is a battle of?
Words.
Life is a battle of?
Words.
Life is a battle of?
Words.
A lot of people, they use their mouth to destroy the destiny we are talking about. They get there, the thing is not producing. So it's very important we engage our mouth. You engage, you know, I said in the first prayer meeting we had for the year, that warfare is continual. It's every time. It's every time. Let's not forget that thing. What I've tried to emphasize today, number one, that our labor is spiritual. Number two, life, again, we said, is a battle of words. We must, that is our spiritual labor. We fight it to a large extent with our words. And then number three, it's a continual thing. It's a continual thing. So I want us, again, to just go. I don't want to speak for so long today. That's why I said, let's rise to our feet immediately and just start praying. And in the same manner as we've done in previous times, I'm just going to lead the prayer. All I want you to do is just repeat what I have said. I can take a pause once in a while to allow you to use any words that you like, all right? But this is just to give us a guide. Now, don't forget something I've said again and again. We don't come here to pray. Do we come here to pray? No. What do we come to do? To learn how to pray. We come to form new habits, all right? It's not only when you get for a prayer meeting on Tuesday. That's when you do these things. No. What we're just trying to do is to form new habits, all right? Wake up in the morning and do this thing. Go to sleep at night doing this thing. Sometimes you're alone in your car, you are driving, or you're just alone. You just start talking to yourself. It's not empty. Remember what I said? It's seed time. You keep on sowing the seed. The time that the harvest will come, let me tell you the truth, a lot of times you will even have forgotten what you did. You will have forgotten. That's why, you know, when men are telling stories of their lives, look, I hear it with a lot of caution, because it's only the word of God that really knows what happened. Someone said, that morning, I just decided to wake up at 5, and breakthrough came. Some people now go and say, breakthrough is determined by whether you wake up by 5 or you don't wake up by 5. No. He said, he himself does not know how. So what do? We learn the word of God generally, and we do that which is right continually. And I'm saying to us again, our labor is spiritual, and the major portion of that spiritual labor is what we say with our mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let's start again today, especially in the light of what we've been learning over the last few weeks concerning righteousness. Everybody just declare it loud, say, in Jesus' name, I have passed out of darkness. In Jesus' name, I have passed out of darkness. And I have passed into light. Say it again, in the name of Jesus Christ. I have passed out of darkness. And I have passed into light. Say it, in Jesus Christ. I have passed out of darkness. And I have passed into light. Please say like you believe it. I have passed out of death. I have passed into life. It's only those who are on this side that are with me. Those on this side, I wonder where you are. Alright? Look, don't mutter. Alright? You know, you have to know I'm not alone. And sometimes when people say this and they say it like that, the spirit is, how do I say, it's dampened. Alright? You want to jump up? No need. If you are feeling sleepy, shake your head. Alright? And wake up. Alright? Say this thing like you believe it. Just close your eyes, alright? And speak to yourself and speak into the air around you. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus,
I have passed out of death.
I have passed into life.
As it is written.
The Lord Jesus said to me,
he that hears my word
and believes who sent me,
the same has eternal life
and does not come into judgment,
but has passed out of death
and passed into life.
I have heard his voice
and I have come to life.
As he said,
an hour is coming,
and now is,
when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God,
and those who hear shall live.
Say it, everything in me has come to life.
Because I have heard the voice of the Son of God,
therefore everything in me has come to life.
Say like you believe it, my spirit has come to life.
I was dead in my trespasses and sins.
But in Christ Jesus,
I have received life
because I have heard his word
and I have believed his word.
Say it, my health has come to life.
My health has come to life
because I have heard his word.
The word which said,
himself took my infirmities
and bear my sicknesses.
And by his stripes,
I have been healed.
Say it, my body has come to life.
Premature death
and sicknesses,
they have been removed.
Say it again, premature death
and diseases,
they have been removed out of my life.
As it is written,
if Christ is in me,
though my body is subject to death because of sin,
yet the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness.
Say it, I have passed out of death.
Premature death has been removed.
Sicknesses have been removed.
As it is written.
As it is written.
If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me,
he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead,
we also give life to my mortal body
through his Spirit who indwells me.
Say, because of Christ,
my body has received life.
Say, because of righteousness,
my body has received life.
Say, I have not attained this righteousness by my own works.
I have attained it by grace.
Now say this like you believe it. I have been made righteous.
You know, you see, this is something you must say with boldness. You know, for a long time, I didn't teach along the lines, these lines, because unconsciously, I thought every Christian knew it. It's recent times I realized that they don't. Many people are still afraid. Like I told you, Umrah said to me once, I don't know what I have done for God. I should do anything for me. I started laughing. I didn't know Christians still thought like that. And that is what is called sin consciousness. You understand? You think there's a gap between you and your God. Listen, you must understand this, that righteousness is a gift. What did I say? That is, God looked at you and said, you, I love you. Come and take. The gift he gave you is called righteousness. It is not what you did or did not do. All you needed to do was to receive it. How do we receive it? We receive it by faith. Do you understand that? Now, so say it, I have received life, because of righteousness. Say, the Spirit is giving my body life, because of righteousness. It's making me remain young, because of righteousness. I did not attain this righteousness by my own works. I have attained it by grace. I have been made righteous. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I have attained it by faith. I do not approach God by my own works. I do not pray in the power of my good works. I approach him by my faith in Christ Jesus. Say it, I have access by the power of the blood of Jesus. As it is written, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. We have a great high priest over the house of God. So we draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Say like you believe it, I have boldness therefore in approaching God. I have boldness in approaching God the Father, because he is my Father. Say it, I have boldness in approaching God. Because I know he loves me. Say it, I have boldness in approaching God. Because I have been made righteous. Say it again, this righteousness is a gift. I did not labor for sin. I did not labor to have my sins washed. It came to me freely by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have confidence that I am not a sinner anymore. Say, therefore, I have confidence. And I can say it boldly. Satan, hear it. My body, hear it. Everybody around, hear this. I am not a sinner anymore. I am not a sinner anymore. I have been set free by righteousness. Therefore, I have boldness. Therefore, I have the boldness to face the challenges of life. As it is written, the righteous are as bold as a lion. As it is written, I am righteous. Therefore, I am bold as a lion. I am bold in the face of troubles. I am bold in the face of adversities. I am bold in the face of tribulations and persecutions. Because I have been made free. Because I have been set free. Because I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, as it is written. Listen, why do I keep saying as it is written? Because it's not just our desires. It is what God has said, that's what we are stepping into. Humility is not to go around trying to put yourself down. Humility is to make your judgments based only upon what God has said. It is not humility if God says you are strong, you say I'm weak. You know, say, no, I'm not fit. You know, say people like us, we just they try. There's nothing like that. It is not humility to say I'm a sinner. You know, I'm always sinning. I can't help but sin. That is pride. That is an insult. Humility is if God says it, it is like that. I hope you're getting the point there. Humility is that whatever God has said is what I believe is what I'm walking by. I hope you are getting that point. That's why we keep on repeating as it is written. So let's say it again. I have been made righteous. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As it is written. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf. That I might become the righteousness of God in him. We are talking about boldness. Say, I'm bold to face the plan of God for my life. I am not afraid of lack. I am not afraid of poverty. Listen, many people know what God wants them to do. Some people, because I'm a preacher, I can say this. They know that God wants me to do this. He wants me to leave this place and go to this other place and begin this kind of ministry. But money, I hope I will not, poverty won't kill me. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's true. People are afraid. What is going to happen? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And where we dwell shall we be clothed? And that's why I'm going over this again today to remind us that because we have been made righteous, we are bold as lions, you understand? And because of that, we can face the purpose of God for our lives. So let's declare boldly, I am not afraid of lack. I am not afraid of poverty. I am able to face the plan of God for my life. Say like you believe it, I am able to face the plan of God for my life. I am not afraid of poverty. It's so important. I said, this is the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor. So that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Say like you believe it. Say, it is written. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Say it, also it is written. Behold. He makes all grace abound towards me. That I, having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound unto every good work. Say like you believe. He say, behold. He makes prosperity flow towards me like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Say, it's not because of my strength, but because of the righteousness of God which I have in Christ. Say it, it is written. It's not by my power. It is not by my might. It is by his spirit. Say, that spirit of God is walking with me. That grace of God is walking with me to arrange events so that I will fulfill the will of God for my life. I recognize that I'm not my own. And I speak to my soul. Soul, listen. You are not your own. You belong to God. Just like Paul wrote, I belong to him, and therefore I serve him. Say, I serve God. Say it, I serve God. As it is written. He died for all, that all who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Say it, I live for God. Let me tell you something. You know why we do all of this? Like I keep on saying, we come here to begin it and then we'll continue every day in our lives. You are conditioning your body. What did I say? You are conditioning your reflexes. You are conditioning yourself in how you will react under difficult circumstances. When challenges come upon you, there are some things that just come out of you naturally. Are you getting my point? And how you condition yourself is by speaking words. This was where we are speaking today. I pray that you will hear it again and again and again and make it a constant part of your life. At that time, when pressure comes, you will do that which is right. Not because you want to do that which is right, but because you told your body ahead of time, this is what you will do, that which is right. When challenges come, when you're under pressure to do left or right, which one is the will of God, you are not even sure. Without your being conscious of which one is God's will, you will find yourself executing the will of God. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? You know, one sister asked me once, you know, we were discussing some things. I wasn't married that time. She's a senior person, you know, just counseling a young man that I was. So, and then I made a statement. You know, some people say that, look, you have to know the will of God. You have to know. Say, so go and practice how to tune the frequency of God and hear what God is saying. And like I say all the time, the number one way by which God speaks to people is the simple knowledge of that which is right and that which is wrong. this tuning and tuning and tuning. Most times you tune, you won't jam anything. The only way you can tune to hear God properly is to form a lifestyle of obeying the word of God continually. So I said to the sister who was discussing with me, I said, one of the things I have discovered or I have come to know, listen to this, I said that I know that if I'm about to do that which is wrong, God will stop me from doing it and make me do that which is right. We're talking about marriage. I said, I can never marry the wrong person. I said, it's not possible. You know, some people say that means you know how to hear God. Around nonsense. I didn't used to hear anything. Are you getting my point? And I learned early enough not to try and hear anything. If you try to hear too much, you hear birds flying at night. Are you getting my point? If it's nighttime sleep, if God wants to appear in a dream, he will appear in a dream. People say, when you try, God will speak to you. Go and check those who you spoke to in the Bible. They did not try. It's only one person I remember trying. And that was he Elisha now, who said, bring me a minstrel. And he began to, you know, they sang small music for him. And then the Spirit came upon him. Most of that people were just going on their way. A lot of them will protest. Jeremiah, come. To where? Me? Can't you see I'm too small? I don't know how to talk. You will talk. Are you sure? You know, argument. They told Moses, talk. Moses said, this guy can't talk. The man was protesting. Yet he was hearing the voice of God. Are you getting my point? Nebuchadnezzar did not go out to pray and fast. His heart just turned. Say, what's going to happen in the future? He dreamt and he began to see things. Are you getting my point? God knows how to communicate with you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
He knows how to communicate. God will not speak Swahili to you when you know you don't even understand Hausa. If the only language you know is English, you know, he can speak English too. We say, look, you want to hear the voice of God? Go and learn Hebrew. It's not necessary. All right? Anyway, so I was telling that sister that day. I said, listen, this is what I have found out. I can never do that which is wrong. Not because I know how to do that which is right by myself. I said, but he leads me in the path of righteousness, not for my sake, but for his own name's sake. And I experienced those principles that I can never marry the wrong woman. That if I want to marry the wrong woman, God, if God has to break a leg, he will do it. That is, break my leg. And that's a matter of fact. And I said it and I believed it. That was why when the brother asked me, did God speak to you about the wife you marry? I said, yes. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Because until that moment, I was not sure. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. That was the moment when the whole thing done arranged finished. He now said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. You may own the bride. You understand my point? You know, I said, good, now I am certain. And I told my wife, there's something I want to tell you. And I said, okay, what is you, that you wanted to tell me? And I told her right there, I said, I love you. You are God's gift to me. Until that time, you are the girl I like. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes. Uh-huh. Anyway, let me get back to the main thing. So I was telling the sister then, I said, this is what I have come to understand. She now made a statement. She said, Banky, I hope you know that is not for everybody. She quoted one scripture. I have not been able to find that scripture since that time. I can't even remember it. But I remember what she said. She said something about Jacob. That thing you have described is only for those who have consciously carried themselves and given to God. Say, God, do with me as you deem fit. When I never crossed my mind. She just said, listen, this is not for everybody. This thing you have told me now, that if I want to go wrong, God will make me go right. He said, it's only for those who have conscious, that is, they made a deliberate commitment to God and said, take this life, handle it whichever way you like. Do you get the point I'm going to make? That is, once you do that, events start playing later. And that's why we do all these things that we are doing. People want to learn how, when it's time to make this decision, how do I know the right one to do? How many things do you learn in life? They've taught you how to cross the road, praise God. You understand? Uh-huh. They've taught you how to drive a car, praise God. But they have not taught you how to handle to avoid that truck that's coming around the bend when you are not looking. They can't teach you that one. There are so many things in life you cannot be taught. There are too many things in life to learn. So what does God do? He said, don't worry about it. He ensures that he arranges events to bring forth his will in your life. And that's what we are saying. So we commit ourselves totally to God all the time and he arranges the rest. So what do we do? That's what I'm talking about. What we are doing that we are committing ourselves, like that sister said to me then, we are saying to our bodies, look, you will do the will of God. Then after that, if we fall asleep, we'll fall asleep in the will of God. If we wake up, we'll wake up in the will of God. If we eat bread, that bread was baked in heaven's oven. You are getting my point? You wake up in the morning and say, hey, Lord, what do I wear today? God says, I know they talk. You just grab a tie. You put it on. That is the will of God for that morning. Why? Because before that day, you said to your soul, are you getting my point? You spoke to your life. You told it, this one, you will walk in the will of God. then God accepted that sacrifice. TDJ is talking about the sacrifice of praise. That's real sacrifice. God accepts your life as a living sacrifice. That this one is my own, doesn't belong to anybody else again. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you, it's good to know, people say that how to be led by the Spirit of God. I've read a lot of books on it. And there are two books I still recommend on it till tomorrow. Those are the two best books on the subject I have read. One is Knowing God's Will by Zach Poonen, How to Recognize God's Voice by Graham Fitzpatrick. Those are the two books. They are the only two books I recommend on following the will of God. They are the ones I recommend. Because I found people who explained that it's not just by learning how to, you know, those of us who grew up in the Word of Faith movement, we learned how to, the voice of the inner spirit, then the voice of the Holy Spirit, then the voice of an environmental spirit. Then you hear all kinds of voices. And I've seen people who are thoroughly, in fact, my wife was there the other day, we were discussing. Somebody said she walked somewhere, and her boss would come and say, Holy Spirit told me to do this. Holy Spirit told me to do this. He said, but Holy Spirit never tells you to pay us. The Holy Spirit will never say you should pay us. Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, do this one. Holy Spirit say, don't do this one. But pay us. Now, Holy Spirit, not they remember to talk that one. Or if you like, Holy Spirit won't bring up that discussion, you go hurry. Say, Holy Spirit will talk later. I'm in a hurry now. I go, Holy Spirit said I should do this one. Christians have gotten confused trying to learn how to hear. Listen, you don't worry about that one. Are you saying God doesn't speak? I didn't say so. I said he knows how to shout. God, people say the Holy Spirit is only whispers. Who said so? Which Bible did you read? Did you hear that his voice is like the sound of many waters? What is your issue? There was a time God spoke, it was so loud, people thought it was thunder. It was loud. His voice penetrated the airwaves. Everything began to tumble. Only Jesus knew how to discern what he was saying. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Everybody said that was thunder. God will speak, mountains will catch fire. Who told you that God only whispers? They said, if you don't know how to be quiet, you will not hear the voice of God. Don't worry. God knows how to slap people to get their attention. You don't believe it? Go and ask Bro Balaam. The guy mounted a donkey, was going, donkey carrying leg, jam wall. The guy, what is wrong with you? Move properly. Then his eyes open, he saw an angel in front. Jonah, go one direction. You know, one go. God said, we'll go arrange. Sea began to blow. God does not only whisper. Please, God does not only whisper. He said, if you don't know how to hear the voice of God, he won't talk to you again. Listen, what is that little guy somewhere? He was confused. But God did not stop speaking until the guy got the correct order. The most important thing when it comes to hearing the voice of God is a habitual form of obedience. Not to go, if you don't know how to obey the Holy Spirit, he won't talk again. That's not true. If you don't know how to obey the written word, that's when he doesn't talk. Do you get my point? Yes, because God does not speak concerning that which is clear. Good morning, sir. Please, I'm hungry. Let me pray about whether I should give you money to eat. Because I know they talk. I come out that Holy Spirit talker. I want to know, should I give him money to eat? Don't worry. Next time you need money too, I'll make all of them go into intercession. If he said, what if I'm not sure he's really hungry? Don't worry. He can't be too full. Give him the money. I told the story once. A friend of mine said, I don't give unless God speaks to me. You're a stingy man. Why don't you breathe unless God speaks to you? You wake up in the morning and say, honey, what's wrong? The Lord has said I should breathe this morning. No, you breathe because you are alive. The only time I need special revelation on whether I should give is when the giving is out of proportion. You know, like it doesn't make sense. Maybe all I have is 50 naira and I'm going somewhere too. And you need money. I can only give you part of it now, Abba. Those are the times Holy Spirit now say, don't worry. Give him the whole sum. I said, who was that? He says me. I said, okay. Why will he do that? He said, because I know normally you will have given him small. You're a good man. How do I know? It's in the scriptures. One day a man took Abraham's wife. And the Lord appeared to him at night. Say, you're a dead man. He said, Which one concerning me, concerning death? You took a prophet's wife. He said, but you were there. He said, it's my sister. God said, I know that normally you don't behave like this. That is why I have bothered to come and talk to you. That is the man who behaves normally towards other people's wives. When he mistakenly takes the one that somebody's wife and he does not know, and his name is Abimelech, God will shout and say, don't try it. This one is a prophet's wife. Abimelech didn't have to go and say, speak to me. Holy Spirit, this woman, is she good or bad? Just took a woman and went to sleep. He said, I'll go arrange that one tomorrow. God said, arrange with it. I'll go soon arrange you. But the point is that, what was the first thing? He had the habit of doing that which is right. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why this is so crucial. People sit down and say, I've learned how to pray now until I hear the voice of God. I'm not impressed. Listen, I'm not impressed. I entered into a rock, segregated myself until God will speak. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, just not impressed. If you hear I entered into a rock to go, me, I went to go and read my Bible and pray. If God wants to speak, let him speak. If he doesn't want to talk, no be by force. I will have direction one way or the other. That one is certain. I will have direction. Many people have heard voices until the voices drive them crazy. They drove them crazy. It's true. You start operating by voices. So I was coming this morning, the Lord said to me, turn your steering. And I said, press your brake. As a later after that, put on your trafficator. Listen, God didn't say anything to me. That's just how to drive. Are you getting the point I'm making? That the, what are we trying to do? We are speaking ahead, arranging, that is, rearranging our synapses, in the brain, arranging the nerves. This is how you connect when it comes to doing right. This is how you connect when it comes to doing the will of God in your life, even if it's difficult. I told you before, the reason why in the army, you don't see your superior and just say, Mike, how far? Nothing like that. It is Monsa. See him 10 times a day. It's Monsa 10 times a day. Why? Because one day you are going to be in battle. He's going to be the commanding officer. And bullets are going to be flying over your head. And the man will say, advance. If you are used to negotiating with him, you will negotiate. And say, officer, I think the bullets are flying on. But if you are used to, yes, sir. As he says, advance. While your brain is trying to consider whether we should advance or not, your legs are still going. Because you have been conditioned. Are you getting my point? That's why it's so important you engage your mouth all the time. This is how we are saying, it's not just here. You go about life saying it. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. God has washed away my sins. I am bold. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of failure. Some people, they will do evil because somebody is threatening to sack them. You know what this is the right thing to do. Say, but if I do it now, they may sack me. You are the one they will sack first. I hope you know. I can prove from the scriptures, the Bible says, he that loves his life is the one that will lose it. Are you getting my point? But if you don't have any fear of if they sack me now, what will I do? You say, listen, this is the right thing to do. Good morning, sir. We have checked it. God, the principles of God, this is the right thing to do. We know that this will please you more, but this is the right thing to do. I was talking to somebody who called me today. I said, do the right thing first. You'll be amazed that the man who's making the wrong rules will learn from you. Some of us are denying people that we are supposed to teach. We are denying them that ministry because we are afraid to offend them. The Lord is good. What did I say? The Lord is good. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. All right, so what are we doing in all of these things? We are conditioning our systems. What did I say? We are conditioning our systems. We are wiring our synapses. Yes, we are. Say it again. Say, I recognize that I am not my own. I belong to God. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, He died for all. So that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Say it, wherever he says I should go, I will go. Whatever he says I should do, I will do. I will always have his word in my heart and on my lips. The word is all that I need. Say, the word of God is all that I need. It is the carrier of his spirit. When I speak that word, help comes to me. Strength comes to me. Favor comes to me. Favor from the Almighty. And favor from every corner. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's tackle this one also, because part of our boldness, for us to understand our relationship with the devil. Are you getting my point? That is what, where do we stand, where the devil is standing? It's very important we know it as Christians. So. Say it like you believe it, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Because I have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Because I have been washed. And I have been made clean. Say it, I live above sin. By the power of the righteousness of God. Say it, I live above Satan. I live above the works of the devil. As it is written, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, the greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I am not afraid of the devil. I am not afraid of demons. I am not afraid of evildoers. You know those days when we were children. I remember once when I was in university, this man of Christian Pentecostal Mission, CPM, Reverend Ezekiel, came to preach in our school and he was casting out demons from some small girls. I didn't know that all these fine girls could have evil spirits. I was a small child. I still remember one girl wearing big belt like this. Ah, see this serious girl? You get evil spirit too. But the gist about it was that when serious, no be my casting out. Serious one. Animals, they scream, they fly. Ah! Now I go locate one guy where they tall. I stood behind him. I will look over his shoulder. The guy didn't know I was using him for, you know, bullshit. When they say, come out, I go dodge like this. I was afraid before the thing hit me in the face. You know, it was my first encounter in my life. I was here once in the University of Benin. We were doing crusade. And he made some dangerous calls like that and began to pray for people. I remember one girl he prayed for. The girl hit the floor, pow, like this. He faced his direction and continued to pray. Somebody went to the girl to go and he said, leave her alone. That demon is going. He just said, leave her alone. The demon is going. And the man will shout, come out, I go dodge. You know, my fear was that on his way, he might see me. He shall come out. But now, I have understanding. I know if the demon sees me, he will take another direction. If I don't want me to go, I go block every angle. Say, catch that one today. It's understanding. Are you getting my point? It is understanding. Now, I'm not afraid. You are casting out 1 million demons. I will just go on my way normally. Now then go check. See the direction bank is in. Take it that way. Before we go into the lake of fire before the time. Are you getting my point? It's important we understand it. Our place when it comes to the devil is not your mate. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's why you are not afraid of him. Say it, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, I have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the prince of this world cannot hold on to me. As it is written, he stripped the rulers and authorities of their power and made a public show of them and triumphed over them in the cross of Jesus Christ. Say it, I have been set free. I am seated with Christ Jesus on the right hand of God the Father, far above principalities and powers, and every demonic power. Therefore, I'm not afraid of witches. I'm not afraid of Satan. I'm not afraid of the devil. Say, no demon can possess me. No demon can stay in my life. No demon can stay in my body. No demon can oppress my mind. Say, my mind has been washed,
my mind has been washed
by the power of the blood of Jesus.
By the power of the blood of Jesus.
Therefore, I am free.
Therefore, I am
free. Say, therefore, I am free.
Therefore, I am free.
If the Son shall set you free,
if the Son shall set you free,
the Bible says,
the Bible
you
says,
shall be free indeed.
You shall be free.
Say, the Son has set me free.
The Son has set me free.
And I am free indeed.
I am free indeed.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just acknowledge God for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take your seats. But before we go, you know, something led to it. You know, we've been talking about righteousness for some time, you know. And one way or the other, I now encountered the books by E.W. Kenyon again. So I quickly located the one, Two Kinds of Righteousness, and I began to read it again. Ah, I said, oh my God. I want everybody here to please go and get a copy if you can. Two Kinds of Righteousness by E.W. Kenyon. You know, somebody gave me an electronic copy. So, Israel, we'll talk after, all right? Or led me to where I could find it more like. So we'll talk after. But I want everybody to read. There was something Kenyon said. He said that the church, now he was talking about his own time, that the church had been strong in preaching about sin, in preaching about repentance, and all of those things. And those things came out of what we call the holiness movement. You understand? He said, but the church had not been strong on the teaching of righteousness. He said, what the emphasis on sin and all of that did was to weaken the faith of people. Now, I'm saying this again, that the church in modern day has been strong on teaching on works. Now, it started out as a good thing, but the emphasis was overly placed upon it, and it was not well balanced. So women began to think that the way by which they attain anything with God is by what they do. And listen, I want you to understand again, that does not give you confidence before the throne of God. And if it gives you any confidence, it's a misplaced confidence. What am I saying? Listen, these words we have declared today, imbibe them, repeat them to yourself. It gives you confidence in life that makes you win. Are you getting my point? Listen, my wife can testify. Eh? It's a matter of fact. I don't know when I was in secondary school, don't think I've always been like that though. When I was in secondary school, I used to fear a lot. Yes, that is, I used to be, in fact, one of my friends, my bosom friend that time, used to be very angry with me. You know, when in boarding house, if senior talk like this, I would begin to tremble. And he's like, what is wrong with you? Because he didn't care. If they beat two of us, I mean, go cry, he not go cry. And at the end, he would be rebuking me, what is wrong with you? That is, I used to be like that. But I don't know when last I was afraid like that. I don't know when last. And it all began when we were in school those days. And we began to hear the word of righteousness. The word of holiness. True holiness, though. I don't mean pretense holiness. True holiness. Being consecrated to God. I can't remember being afraid of Satan. I can't. That must have been like 30 years ago. In modern times, I can't remember. What I learned, which is the truth of the word of God, is that if I'm coming this way, Satan will take the other door. You get what I'm trying to explain? That is it. And look, when my wife met me, one of the things she learned, she observed, was that, in fact, she interpreted it as arrogance, and this man is just too full of himself. I went home and prayed about it and came back and said, it's a lie. I'm full of God. Yes, because I learned from the word of God to be very bold about everything. If everybody is wearing expensive suits, I have a cheap shirt, I feel inferior to who? Hey! I used to say something those days. I used to say it all the time. And even some women used to get angry, some used to laugh. I said, listen, all of you young women, better be begging me now to marry you, because all this one that we're saying, we're all the same level now. And some people will get angry. Some will just like, don't mind, just be talking nonsense. Some will laugh. Some will find it very funny. But I always said it, and I meant it.
And I used to say, that how many planes have you seen flying? And they stopped to take passenger. The only plane that wants to fly and take somebody will park on the ground. Then you have to be grounded first. Before you can take it. I say, listen, I'm grounded now. All of you had better enter. That once I take off, they don't close door, pressurize cabin. Listen, why did I used to talk like that? It's simple. Because I studied the word of God. All right? And that word was always, it's not something you just make up your mind, let me talk. It affects you. I don't know what I get on and say. It affects you. It affects you. It drops from your mouth. It's what you imbibe every day. And that's what I want to encourage us again concerning. These confessions we took today, try and get the tape. Play it all the time until the words ring in your heart. Listen, while you are sleeping, while you are sleeping, those things will continue to talk. You know, some people are afraid of demons that fly by night. I hear Christians say they don't want to sleep at night because they want to terrorize the devil at night. You know what? My snoring is terror to the devil, I hope you know. It is. It is. If I lie down at night and I'm snoring, the devil knows that something strong is about to happen. Something very, very strong is about to happen. Let's leave this place. There's a scripture for it. Say, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. The Lord alone makes me dwell in what? In safety. It's the word of God. Listen, I learned that thing long ago. The Bible says the righteous are as what? Bold as a lion. Understand this. You have been made righteous. Say it if you believe it. I have been made righteous. I have been made righteous. I didn't realize until now that a lot of Christians didn't understand that. So they are laboring. Any day he doesn't pray, he's afraid that my righteousness don't weaken. When last you share the gospel with somebody, don't you know you may just die and go to hell? Why? Because the blood of those who did not share the gospel with is going to be chasing you about. I will preach to who I'm supposed to preach to, but not because I'm afraid his blood will chase me about. I'm going to heaven. Your blood can only chase me into heaven. That's the worst you can do. You pursue me there in a hurry. That's the worst you can do. That is the worst you can do. I'm not going to, because of fear, preach to you if I don't preach to you now. And I said, the Lord will require his blood from you. We require it at the judgment throne in heaven now. I don't enter the place to kill. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Yes, it's a righteousness mentality. It's a confidence that I've had for a very long time because of the instruction of the word of God. And I'm challenging you again as believers. Understand that. You know, I keep on saying this all the time. Christians must understand it. Anytime you are trying to do something so that God can give back to you, it is because you think you have not yet attained the amount of righteousness necessary to achieve that thing. What does that mean? You are pursuing righteousness by works. I'm going to continue discussing that on Saturday. We believers, we don't do that. We do what is right because it's our nature. What did I say? It's our nature. That's just why we do that which is right. I say it to you all the time, I don't give because I want to prosper. Pastor Bank, you don't want to prosper. I prospered long ago. I still remember when I prospered. That day I opened, two things happened. I read John F. Avanzini. He said something that will appear simple, but it was so profound, it hit me very hard. He said, God said to Abraham, a father of many nations, I have made you. That if God says something about you, you are that thing, there and then. That Abraham didn't have a child, didn't have anything, and God said to him, I have made you. That is, are you already made? It didn't hit me like, wow! After that day, I didn't walk out for Lagos like this. You made that my wife with boldness. Hey. The second thing was, I opened my Bible one day. If I don't know how it arrived there, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Those two things combined, I knew I had broken through. In fact, I should have changed my second name to Breakthrough. No, I knew I'd made it. I knew in this life, no, that one is taken care of. Every other thing I do in life is a consequence of the knowledge of that fact. Do you get my point? Yes. It's a consequence of the knowledge of that fact. Not giving money because God is going to multiply it for me. No.
the amount of money he has kept, you get my point, the amount of prosperity he has kept cannot be multiplied again. I don't know whether I get the point. It's infinite. I'm not begging him to multiply it. Because I recognize it is there, I can be generous. And if you're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, you see it. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited or put their hope in the authenticity of riches. He said, instruct them to put their hope in God. They began to explain to them, teach them to do good, to be rich, that is to be generous and ready to share. When that revelation hit me, I shared it with my wife then, just before we got married. I said, listen, look at what the Bible is saying. Anybody whose trust, whose faith, whose hope is in God is a generous person. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That was when I was planning my wedding and I needed every dime I could get. After sharing that revelation with my wife, I was about to marry. I wasn't preaching to her, I was preaching to myself. All the money I was trying to gather, if I now took it, began to share it. A friend of mine was wedding a week before me. I said, oh boy, I know you have been spending money. I gave him some money. The guy was like, man, where did this guy hit this thing? Because we worked in the same place. We all knew how tight things might be. I went to church, put money in an envelope, dropped it. After service, I greeted Pastor, oh, God, well done, sir. Just, oh, God said, that. You know, God, I didn't say God said, but you know, I just dropped an envelope in his. I just began to spend money. I began to live freely again. Why? Because I read the scripture. Are you getting my point? That those who their faith is in God, who have their hope set on him, they are generous and ready to share. That's how Christians are generous. Not because they're trying to get something out of God. Because they know that in life, you know, remember that scripture we read just now? He was rich, yet he became poor. So that we, through his poverty, might become what? Rich. The word is rich and poor, and he meant it in literal sense. Hey, how will my prosperity come? Listen, I'm not discussing that now. But one of the things, maybe later on, hey, if I can remember that I said this, later on I'd like to explain that thing again. One of the major, if you go and check it, God, when they came to Jesus Christ, he told them, when the people sent by John, said, go and tell them what you both see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and as the lepers are cleansed. He said, but the poor have the gospel preached. The gospel what? Preached to them. Why didn't he give them money? Because he realized that the sickness of poverty is not cash, it's a mindset. Are you getting my point? Somebody can be physically sick, they can get healed. But if somebody is poor, that the poverty is not that he does not have money, that he needs to have his mindset rearranged. Listen, take time out to rearrange your mindset, your prosperity will flow. I listened to this man. I read his book, Sunday Adelaja. He said that there was a series in that book, Money Won't Make You Rich, that he was teaching in the church. He taught people a lot of things. He said one poor pastor, very poor, very, very poor, and half literate, showed up in their church. The Bible said that the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, which a man found. Then he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that thing. Or treasure buried in the ground. A man sold all he had to buy that plot of land. That was what that man did, literally. He went and sold what he had to gather enough money to buy tapes in the church, the whole series. He sat down and began to listen. The man was half literate, so it took him a long time to be able to decode all the things that they were saying. In a short while, after decoding that thing, he became a multimillionaire. It wasn't somebody just laid hands on him, because his mindset was rearranged to be able to receive that which God actually had planned for him. You already prospered, amen? God has already poured abundance of prosperity over your head. What he just saying is that rearrange your brain to be able to form the channels to bring it down to earth. Your daddy, my friend, and I were talking. That's Mike. Something led to it. Do you know there are talk, some things you say, God said you don't qualify. Let me give an example. Why should somebody be flying first class, F? You make that statement, you know what it means? You don't qualify. Nobody said God is vexed. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He's not angry.
It's just that you don't qualify. I don't know whether you get my point. That is until the gospel of understanding, and it's not by force. If you say why should they, it means you don't know. I mean, no, so there's no fight. You know what I mean? Even me talking to you now, you know, if you give me money to fly first class, I'm not going to fly first class. Why should I fly first class? You know, it's just the level. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That's the way it is. But let me just warn you ahead of time. You can tell yourself, why should I fly first class? It's okay. Don't open your mouth to say, why should they? That accusing spirit is bad. Yeah, it sprinkles bad things into your front. It's not good. All these rich people say, don't mind them. They are not happy. They can't sleep at night. When you become rich, you won't sleep. You won't sleep. Why? You prophesied it. That rich people don't sleep at night. Some people, it's envy and jealousy, vexation of spirit. It's making them talk nonsense. Yeah, that a man flew alone, private jet, went abroad, and the whole thing was 10 million naira. The cost of food and everything. That is money that the poor people can use. Judas. A company of Judas. How do you respond to such things? They didn't ask me for offering for it, did they? It don't concern me. Like my wife would say, why am I swallowing Panadol for somebody else's headache? One guy for that side get headache. Me and I go buy Panadol, the shark for here. You know, some people are very funny. They say, your pastor is using your money to fly. I said, wait. Did you say your pastor or my pastor? Which one? Did I come to your house to come and complain? You know, some people are very funny. Just zip your mouth. It doesn't concern you. Say they are building universities that poor people can't go to. After all, they gave offering to build the university. If you and your brother start a filling station, will you collect fuel from there free? You know, go pay. Have you ever asked yourself how much it costs to build a university and to run a university? You have no idea. You just sit down there and be talking nonsense. And thereby closing yourself from prosperity. Why? Because you have not heard the gospel. Listen, you need to rearrange your brain. And stop, keep. Look, anybody that's always critical of government, critical of Dangote, why is he the only one importing sugar? If you have money, you too go and import sugar. You say anybody, just close your ears. Say, I'm Bruce Alpha. I say, I'm coming. Just carry your bag, disappear. So don't keep me in poverty. It's true. My point is, what you don't respect, you don't attract. Now, you know why I'm going to all of these things? The thing that's closing prosperity from coming to us is not that you have not showed enough shit. That's not why. That is not why. Your lack of seed sowing may be a sign of unbelief. You get my point? But the more important reason is because we have not imbibed the gospel that releases our brains into the channel to bring forth prosperity. You know why I'm saying all of these things? Righteousness is what I'm talking about. We're not trying to labor to attain a righteousness to become prosperous in life. That was paid for by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Are you getting my point? It was paid for. It was paid for. And I wanted to walk around in life with that kind of confidence. You know, there are guys who are still, and it's normal, it's lack of knowledge. They are afraid. Hey, don't be angry, because there are a lot of young men here. They need to hear these things. They are afraid to talk to the woman that they really want to talk to because they feel they are broke. Did I mention your name? Why are you rubbing your eyebrows? They are afraid. They feel like, don't worry. Don't worry, very soon. Then they are applying for jobs just because they want to talk to one person. You see, you know, I'm not going to afford them. That's nonsense. Just go and say, oh girl, are you a child of God? If the answer is yes, we got to talk. Pastor Bank gave me one revelation I want to share with you. That's it. You begin talk. I'm serious. You know, people, you know, they said we're like grasshoppers in their ears. The people are not even thinking about you. That's why my greeter, she didn't answer. I know now. I know why. The guy didn't hear. That's why he didn't answer. The problem, you know, maybe her father, she and her father acquired the day before. And that has been her mind. So you greet them. She didn't know you were greeting her. In fact, maybe you are your greeting. She looked, no, be me. She didn't think about it. And I said, leave them. We will soon prosper. Who is them? Who is we? Look, that's what E.W. Kenyon calls sin consciousness. This sin is not only I committed something bad. Sin is God says I'm here, I say I'm not there. That's also sin. I can't do it. I like what the pastor told me recently. He said one day, a man, he said then, I think it was in Onitsha, one man, a successful businessman in Onitsha, had been trying to go abroad for a long time, just to, for a holiday. They kept on denying him visa. So he told the fellow, I'll get you a visa. They struck a deal, though the man didn't pay, but they struck a deal that I'll get you a visa, you pay me this amount of money. He says, the person here just took a sheet of paper, and wrote a letter to the embassy. I abused them very well. That is, now, not really like that, you know? But that's what he did. He explained to them, he had the man's document and everything, that this man, this is the what he does, this is how much money he has. You guys have refused to give him a visa. Why? This is a man who is taking money to go and spend in your country. He itemized the point one by one. And said, if this guy knew how to lie and to deceive you people, you have given him a visa. He wrote the letter and gave the man, saying, now go back to the embassy. The man went there, showed them the letter. They read it, they gave him a visa. And said, who is this your lawyer? Because he wrote with a lawyer's name. It was just, the point I'm just making is that, he was just told the man, listen, this is how they do this thing. You don't go there looking, no, you appear before the man, sir. You want to go to the UK? Yes, ma'am. What are you going to do? Hey, we just want to try. They tremble. Now, I've told you my story several times. Then I showed up at the American embassy. Now, somebody and the woman, they look at themselves. Look at herself like this. The balance of your account, say, I don't get money there. My balance was zero. Balance was less than $1,000, everything put together. Two accounts. And I told you before, one of them was 70,000 naira by mistake. One brother wanted to send money to Kingdom World Ministries. He did not know that my name is not Kingdom World Ministries. So he sent to my account. But later I said, who? I check. The name rang a bell. And I called somebody who knew somebody. And I gave me an account and said, look, are you the one that paid money into my account? He said, yes, for the ministry. I said, you didn't tell me now. That was the only, I was going to go there with 30,000 naira balance. And that's why I do my chest, too. Trust me now. Anything is poor. That's what I asked the lady. She did like this. I said, what's the problem? Is there any problem? I said, your balance is too low. I said, you asked whether that was a salary account. And I said, yes. I earn money through it, and I spend it. This is a different Nigeria. True. I'm not going to get to your front and be cowering like this. Good morning, man. If you know, oh, pass me. I know they tell you like that. I will gauge your age. You senior. I lie. It will be like, hey, how are you doing? If you're senior, good day, man. Otherwise, I will not, because I want to go to your country, come begin tremble. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. People like me get things faster. Listen, the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. As I close, let me tell you again, you have been made righteous in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You are not receiving anything in life because of what you did to get them. No. You are getting those things because of what Christ did on your behalf. Later I will talk about it. The reason why the devil is afraid of you is not because of your height or the kind of English you speak. It is because anytime the devil sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees the blood that was shed. You remind him of that fact. Now make him disappear. Are you getting my point? When life is going to release to you, it's not because you have labored hard. No. I've told you before, Christians labor to be converted. That's all. We labor in faith. We labor to believe. Life will release to you, not because you have labored for those things, but because Jesus paid for them. Listen, if you will believe this, oh my God, I pray for you that you will believe it.
Amen.
God, bow your heads, please. Lord, I ask for your people. The people that you sent your only begotten son to go and suffer and die for, I ask for everyone that's listening to this sound, give such a one understanding and revelation so that they will know that all things are theirs because of the sacrifice of Jesus. This I ask, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May God give you understanding.
May he open your eyes so that you will know that indeed freely he has prepared everything for you. He has prepared good children for you. He has prepared an abundance of prosperity for you. He has prepared influence so that you will promote righteousness. He has prepared it for you. You must understand it and you will step into it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I declare to you again, you will not die average.
Amen.
Listen, you will not be average.
Amen.
You know, I said to you last time, you've come here because I'm a preacher. So people will gather in your office also.
Amen.
In whatever God has placed inside you as your own gift to this generation, people will gather and give you attention.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Men will bring prosperity to your doorsteps.
Amen.
Listen to this. Behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That is your heritage in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that is your portion in this life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will go far in life. Amen?
Amen.
But it's not by your strength. There's something I wanted to add to it. I almost forgot. When you have understood this, please, don't forget that thing I said. Pray your Jabezic prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you have understood this, what do you do? Pray your Jabezic prayer. Just simple prayer. Oh, that you will do this for me. I'll read the story of David Green again. David Green is a man. How many of you have a BlackBerry, Android phone, iPhone, whatever. You see the Bible. There's one software, Bible. They call it the YouVersion. But it shows on your screen as Bible, Holy Bible. He's the one that sponsors it. Anything you download for there free, somebody's paying. He pays. His name is David Green. He said something the other day, I laughed. And I was reading it again a few days ago. He said those days there was a company he was working for. They were doing sales of $2 billion a year. So he resigned to go and do his own company. And his own sale was $100,000 a year. Then his wife was like, hey, his wife didn't want him to leave. He said, but now, I mentioned the name of the company. He said, now they are gone. But I'm doing the sales of $3 billion a year. Do you get the point? His wife wanted him to stay because it was a big, solid company. Sales, $2 billion a year. He left that to go and start his own small startup company. That all the sales in a month was like $10,000 or less. If I had $100,000 a year. He said, but look at it now. That company has since disappeared. And I am doing $3 billion a year. And this is why I told the story. He ascribes everything to simple prayer and repentance. There are times he does something wrong. He will pray to God and he will repent and he will do it another way. And God will show favor upon him. Now, this was reported by, is it Fortune? Who are those who write about rich people? Fortune and which other one now? Forbes, yes. It's Forbes magazine that wrote this. So I didn't buy a Christian book. It's Forbes magazine that wrote it. Well, that will be your testimony also.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. Your word is always good, it's always sweet. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. And thank you for the boldness that goes with it. We worship you forever. In Jesus' mighty name.